programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Carl Greer, and we're talking about changing the story of your health. And that's the name of his book, Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. And Carl, we were just talking about partnering, the inner partner that we might have, and then outer partners. So I'd love for you to tell us, what is your experience of both of those kinds of partnering?
Well, in terms of the outer partners, sometimes people will find it useful in working with the ideas in both of my books to get together and do practices together where they can share what happens. And that's helpful to some. Some of the work that I suggest involves ceremony and ritual, which lends itself to doing it in a group. The inner partnering is, as you start to learn how to work with your dreams, or you take the journeys that I describe and suggest people take, you encounter figures, inner figures, and you can learn to have a different relationship with them through just conversation. It's just like two people in the outer world. If they talk, often things happen that wouldn't had they not talked. And it's the same with these inner figures in my experience.
So when on the inner figures, these might appear. And first of all, I want to tell our listeners, you have many wonderful suggested journeys within the book that you can either tape yourself or have somebody read them to you or do it and take the journeys. You have many wonderful journeys. The book is filled with these, and I was very impressed with them. And you talk about our having this inner healing guide, that we all have an inner healing guide. And I guess that this guide might appear in different forms. It might appear as an animal or an element, or how might this guide appear?
Well, in journeys, I suggest that, let's say, to the lower world, which would be akin to a soul retrieval journey that, you know, shamans have taken over the ages. To show respect to these realms, you might ask and visualize that there's a guardian to that lower world. And I'm saying that for the purposes of this book, conceptualize that guardian as your inner healer and ask, is this a good day for you to journey? Because not every journey is for you on that day. Usually it is, but perhaps there's some reason that some inner voice inside of you is saying, you know, it may not be a good day, Carl, for you to do this for whatever reason. So it's a self-protective thing. You can always go back and journey again, and you can work with this guide, this inner healer, and say, well, what do I need to do to make it a good day? So you start to establish a relationship with this inner figure. And I suggest this part of the journey that they become aware of this figure approaching and just notice what form that they take. Is it a man or a woman? Is it a human figure? Is it just pure energy? And it can take different guises at different times. And it's all information. The thing I love about the shamanic work is it's pretty free of judgment. Things just are what they are. And you can suspend what we make of them. Oh, this must be a bad thing. Or an example, a woman was wanting a power animal one time on a journey. And what she found was a mouse. She was so disappointed. Oh, a mouse. And then she started to work with the energy of a mouse. What could it teach her? You know, about perseverance, about industriousness. And all of a sudden, it really filled up. It gave her some information that was really valuable to her, but she had to get past her initial ego reaction to, oh, I wanted a big lion, right, or I wanted to be a bear, you know. And so we get relativized in a way, humbled in a nice way when we work this way, because we see that what our ego really wanted or is holding on to maybe isn't the best thing for us, or maybe there's other information we can get. Now, at some point, the ego, our consciousness, has to decide what we do with that information. But points of in my book is, let's get the information to make that decision about.
Right, right. So in partnering with other people, what do you suggest we go about finding those partners?
Well, just like the group you mentioned that you're working with, I think like-minded people can find ways to get together. You know, hey, do you want to get together to have a fire ceremony, for example, and have it devoted to health? For example, you know, 8 people build a fire. I talk about the value of creating sacred space where you recognize that we're part of a larger picture than we think, that we're here for some purpose. You know, who are we? What are we? Where were we before we came in this lifetime? Where are we going to be when we're no longer here? It kind of relativizes our life, including our health. And so we call in these energies that are part of us to participate in the ceremony. And then we say to ourselves, our intent will be to get ideas about our health. And you might, in that context, blow into a stick that which you feel you need to get rid of in order to have better health. And then another stick, that which you need to gain in order to get better health. And so let this bigger energy fire, and I spent a lot of time talking about the healing power of nature, let the fire work with you. And then all of the people around the fire, you know, one at a time, or they can come in from different directions, can make their own offerings. Then after that they've done this, they can choose or not choose to share their experiences. In the fire ceremony, I also have a practice where people not only are doing it for themselves, but for the collective. Say, you know, what do we need to, this is my offering is for the health of the collective, and I might have my own particular intent. So once that's all done, the people can share with each other in a practice which I talk about, I call it sacred listening, where you're just listening to each other. You're not helping, you're not judging, you're just listening.
Right.
And that process by itself can be very powerful and healing.
I know that some of my healing group that I work with, for instance, we really acknowledge those elements that you mentioned, like the fire, and there's someone who's a keeper of the fire. And that's very powerful, transforming energy. And the fire goes up, and it's just mesmerizing. And then also the element of water. Mm. It's so powerful, water that just is constantly flowing and so magical, so attuned to our own bodies that are so part of water. We're mostly water.
Yes.
And so these things can be very, very powerful. And I know you mentioned being in nature. So I think you refer it to vitamin N, vitamin nature.
Other people have coined that term.
Phrase.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about how important is a regular, meaningful relationship with the natural world.
Well, there is evidence that if people are around evergreens, pine trees, that there's a chemical called phytoncide that has an effect on our neurotransmitters. It reduces cortisol, adrenaline, it boosts the immune system, and we feel better. There's evidence to support that. Around rushing water, negative ions supposedly have been shown to also improve our immune system and to reduce stress hormones, lower blood pressure, help us sleep better. So just being in nature is healing. Because we came from nature in a way, we're part of a natural world. And as we get into an urban environment, concrete and steel and glass, without natural sounds, without natural sights, without natural smells, I think physiologically we suffer. So a good prescription for somebody is just to find a natural place near you, lie on the ground, and let it just kind of work with you. Just be with it. And if you want to be with it more intentionally, ask it, you know, what message do you have for me today about, you know, my sore back or about my sore shoulder? And listen, what do I need to give up in order for that to be less of an issue? What do I need to gain? How might I work with you, Earth, differently? What can I give to you? You've been giving to me. And the notion here is that there's an intelligence in nature, that there's an awareness, and that as we are observing nature, it's observing us. Now, people would say, well, that's just very animistic and that's superstition. And I don't believe that. I believe that there is an awareness. I can't articulate how that all works. But this notion that we all came from the one, the place before the Big Bang, we're all going to go back to someplace. And therefore, we all, nature, we and all the manifestations of nature, plants and animals, all have the essence of the one. So it's the one and the many and the one. And we know that at the subatomic level, things seem to be affected by our observations, and that there's an awareness of things that we don't quite understand. So it's not too much of a stretch, for me at least, to think there's an interaction possible between ourselves and nature. And even if, Justine, it's just a projection, just, you know, from us, the nature of that projection can be very powerful and healing as we work with it and start to understand it.
I'm thinking too, Carl, that when you ask for information, you find, even in the city, there are parks and places where we can find maybe a place that we feel really comfortable about, and especially maybe even taking off our shoes and walking barefoot.
Yes.
Or laying down on the earth is can be very, very powerful. And you talk about listening to messages, and I just want to say that these messages may not come to us with horns blaring and big symphonic introductions. They may be subtle messages. So it's a matter of learning how to listen. There's a kind of learning curve there to hear that maybe smaller voice. Would you agree with that?
I would. And in my book, I talk about some of the preparatory practices to doing some of these expanded awareness techniques. And they involve consciously calling in these helping energies, however, whatever tradition you're from, to work with you. To work on your breathing, to kind of slow your breathing, to visualize your energy field and do what you can to clear it. The notion here is that we have an energy body, a physical body, a spiritual body, a psychological body, and they're all working with each other, and there's things we can do with our imagination to help clear them. So those are all precursors to the work.
Right.
But just those precursors, what they do, they change the neurochemistry of the body, and we go from the sympathetic nervous system in sway to the parasympathetic nervous system. Heart rate goes down, blood pressure goes down, and so forth.
I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Carl Greer. He's the author of Change the Story of Your Health. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Carl Greer, and he is the author of Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian techniques for healing. And Carl, you mentioned earlier something about rituals and ceremonies. Talk about the power of rituals and ceremonies. What do they do for us when we actually, and we make these up? I mean, not to be embarrassed about making up a ritual of like taking a piece of paper and burning it in a fire of something you want to release or whatever it is. Or we use rituals. Baptism is a ritual. We use lots of rituals in our lives. So talk about the power of ritual.
Rituals often take us back to the beginning, you know, the first fertility rite, the first growing of the crop, the first baptism into this this world. It's a new beginning. They're initiatory, but they're also honoring the bigger energies. And they're also, if designed in that way, expressing gratitude to these bigger energies. So the honoring, the gratitude, somehow, in my experience, opens up the possibility of a new relationship to those bigger energies. It's not like I'm going to express gratitude so I get something. It's just I express the gratitude because I really feel gratitude to have this opportunity in this lifetime to do these things.
I'm thinking, Carl, that in this day and time, we move so fast. And we often don't give ourselves what I would call a moment of integration. Maybe something happened and we don't pause long enough to even notice that something really wonderful happened. And it seems to me if we, even the ritual of taking a deep breath is a kind of ritual, as you spoke about earlier, it adds that moment of integrating into our lives what is manifesting. Would you say that this is part of it, that is ritual is also part of integrating it into our lives as well?
It is, and you're raising the question, how does one do that in a life that seems to be ever increasing in its rapidity, its speed? And I think it's just our intent. If your life is going pretty well, and the years go by quickly, well, maybe you don't want to tinker with it. But for many, that's not the case. And they like to make changes. They just don't know how. And I'm suggesting you have to take some time to reflect on what is, be it your health or other aspects of your life. And then you have to have some ideas to what you'd like it to be. And then you have to have some understanding of why you're not doing what you'd like it to be. And that's where I have these practices to work with the transpersonal realms or the unconscious. And you have to be patient with yourself. And you have to, when you're applying it in the day-to-day, just like we said earlier, you have to allow those little spaces for the choices that are different than you had before. Because otherwise you're so busy and people are, you know, they're on cellular devices and listening to the radio and, you know, watching TV and doing a lot of things simultaneously. And that does not really allow much reflection or change.
Mm-hmm.
You get on a treadmill that's really, you think you can't get off of. A lot of these practices, Justine, are to allow us to get off the treadmill a little bit, to look what's going in front of us, so we have the chance to make changes. Not necessarily that we will, but at least have a chance. If you're just so caught up into it, it's really hard to change.
So let's talk about an example. Let's say there's a health example that cropped up for me. I've been adding swimming to my regime. And I noticed some time ago that I have this little kind of catch in my shoulder, but it didn't bother me too much. But when I started swimming regularly and doing an overhead crawl, it really started cropping up, this shoulder pain, and I had to modify my swim and do more treading water than doing crawls. So what would you suggest? Like, how could I then go and find out what this ailment, what this kind of chronic pain is telling me? What could I do with that?
One process that I talk about is called dialoguing. And you'd actually ask the pain, what message do you have for me? Why are you there? What can you tell me? and really have a conversation with it. And I describe a process where you can set up, blow the energy of the sore shoulder into a stone and have a conversation with it and how that would look. And what you're doing, which I think is really good, and not everybody would do it, you're continuing to be in the water. Even though you're not, you know, swimming, you're still in the water getting the exercise. See, because some people say, I can't swim anymore. And so you're working around what is. And this is in your opening remarks, what do we accept as kind of just the way it is, or what can we change? And one way to see if you can change it is to have a conversation with the shoulder. The journey works that I talk about also allows you to get insights into the pain and in talking to your inner healer, this part of you, which is your personification of the immune system. You know, what can you tell me about this pain in my shoulder? It may have something to do with something that you can't even conceive of. You know, maybe it's an inflammatory thing that has to do with an emotion or a thought or a relationship separate from what you think the shoulder is, yet to be determined.
Well, that's really good advice. So it could be something that I really can't change. It might be something that I will have to constantly modify that kind of movement. Or maybe I'll discover some message of something that needs an emotional healing of some sort. Who knows? I mean, as you say, it can surprise us.
A woman was working with a chronically sore neck, really sore neck. And as she was doing some journey work, she concluded that she felt that other people were always judging her, and she had to kind of be looking over her shoulder. As she did further work, she found that she's judging a lot of other people. So now all of a sudden the pain's been relativized a little bit because she's thinking about, you know, I'm judging people and why am I being judged and I'm not worthy, but really I'm judging other people too. And she starts to come to a different relationship with judgment. And lo and behold, she has less of a sore neck. Now, and I've seen story after story after story where you're kind of working with something over here, but then it's related to this. A woman was a competitive rower, and she was having a lot of gastrointestinal issues. And she did journey work and work around the gastrointestinal stuff and concluded that she was so competitive in her rowing that was contributing to it. And then she said, well, you know, I'm competitive in all parts of my life. And then she got to a new relationship with, and she was going to cut out the rowing. She got to a new relationship with competition and then was able to conclude eventually, you know, I can still row, but I'm going to do it with a little different mindset. As a result of that work, her gastrointestinal issues got better. So I think there's just many ways that everything's connected to everything else, the way we started off our conversation, thoughts, emotions, feelings, our spirituality, our physical bodies. And as we work with some, all of a sudden we can see these interconnections and the changes that can take place as a result of the intentional work that we do.
Exactly. One of the big maladies in our culture today, well, two of them, are depression and anxiety. These are big within our own culture and society. We can see it within ourselves. We can feel it. We're constantly being pressured in many ways. And what would you have to say about dealing with depression and anxiety?
Well, I would say that our depression can make us sluggish, which makes us less likely to exercise, which may want us to have comfort food to eat.
It's kind of a snowball effect, isn't it?
It is. So one thing I would suggest that people can dialogue with the depression. What can you tell me? What's going on for me? What do I need to know about you? Can I have a different relationship with you than I have? The same with anxiety. Anxiety, as can depression, can cause us to have stress hormones. And so we have a more of an inflammatory response in our bodies, and we could perhaps then have more pains in our joints, or may have digestive issues. Again, with anxiety, you could work with your inner healer around anxiety. You can dialogue with anxiety and so forth.
I think what you're saying, when you say, all right, have a dialogue with it, you're talking about looking at any of these things that we would normally say, oh, this is a bad thing. Depression is a bad thing. But you're saying, no, think of it as an ally rather than an adversary. Instead of saying, I'm going to battle with my depression, think of it, because you use the words, ask it, what can you tell me about what's going on?
And that doesn't mean that you still can't think of it as an adversary. You don't know if it's an ally yet or not until you had the conversation with it. But you're finding out a little bit about what it is.
All right. Well, you know, we could talk more and more about all of this. And I suggest that people pick up your book and really look at some of these journeys that you suggest. And even looking at dreams, there are all sorts of advice that you have within the book and examples. So I want to thank you so much, Carl, for being with us today.
Thanks, Justine. It was really nice to have the conversation with you.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Dr. Carl Greer. He is a practicing psychologist and a Jungian analyst and a practitioner of shamanic practices. And he's the author of several books, Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing, and Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Tools to Achieve Personal Transformation. If you want to know more about his work, go to his website, Carl Greer, spelled with a C, .com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3616.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the Donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Trevi Johnson, the author of Fierce Consciousness. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about surviving tough challenges, both personal and planetary.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
You're listening to CGSF.